Welcome to Reframe and Rewire Greatness Through Daily Routine. This podcast is designed to alter your mindsets and transform your day-to-day from the second you open your eyes to you close them at night, adapting what I would call a success routine. This series is liable to change your life. And it's never the big things that you do, but the littlest things you do every day that make the biggest difference. And now, on to the podcast. Thank you for joining. Welcome to a brand new series. And this one is going to be spectacular. I have been boasting about this, looking forward to rolling it out. And I want to spend the next month or two interviewing leaders, really powerful leaders, leaders that have won awards in best and brightest consecutive times in a row, leaders who have led for 30 or more years and have a lot to share in terms of how to build a strong culture where people are cohesive, where sales are consistently climbing, where success is well known, and the statistics on retention and on overall engagement are off the chart. These are the kind of leaders we're going to be talking to. And so I'm going to be bringing you one by one as we go through the next several weeks. And I want to start with an absolutely spectacular leader and someone who I've had the privilege of working with, at least with her team. And I think you're really going to like what she has. Mandy Brower is the president of Quality Car Wash, Tim Hortons, and a whole bunch of other business endeavors. So I'll let her tell you a little bit more about herself, but she's got 20 years of leadership, and I know she's going to bring some fabulous insights for us today. So Mandy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hi, everybody.
Glad to have you too, Mandy. So how many properties do you manage or lead?
Right now we're up to 8 and we'll be opening 9 and 10 this year. So we have about 250 team members for all of our sites. And, when I started with my dad, we had 3 locations at the time and are constantly now building new. It was kind of like, all right, if we're going to do this, let's do something, and really have taken it to the next level to continue to grow more. So in our Quality Car Wash family group, we'll have 10 locations at the end of this year.
Wow, that is so impressive. I love it. And we have a global audience. So just so that they know where you're kind of at, it's the Michigan area primarily in the United States. And I know that you've got some expansive things in the nation in terms of what you do too. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that as well. But I've had the privilege of working with Mandy one-on-one over the last about 5 or 6 years and have seen her leadership, and she is phenomenal. She's definitely a people first leader. So share your definition of heart-centered leadership, Mandy.
So when it comes to heart-centered leadership, it's really about thinking about everybody else first, thinking about the team and thinking about the guests. And everyone will say your customer is most important, but really your team is most important. And the people that you surround yourself are basically like your family that you need to go out into this job every day and make something great of it. Whether you're pleasing guests, whether you're building a widget, whatever it is, could be tours, it could be cruise ships, whatever it is, you're trying to satisfy your customer, which we call our guest. And so in trying to develop a company that's focused on leadership and growing team members in the C-store car wash gas industry, it is a lot of 16, 17-year-old kids that are starting their journey of careers here. And it's important to us that when they go on to their next career, if they do, not all of them do, but if they do go on to another career, our name is on their resume. And we want to make sure that we've helped them to train them to be the best leaders that they can. And so reaching out, thinking about them, sending them a text if they're sick, you know, really trying to, you know, I can't do it to everybody, but making sure our leaders are doing it and making sure that everybody feels part of something. And it's part of, you know, a broader family, basically, right? And over the years, I've kind of looked into gang a little bit and what the culture of a gang is and why someone is so connected to a gang and why they would do anything to be part of this game. And it's just filling those 6 human needs. You know, they want to be significant. They want to be part of something. They want to be part of something that makes them feel good. And if we can create that environment around our stores, they in turn are going to make our guests and our customers feel great. And so really focusing on them and their needs and what they need in order to excel, to learn, to train and meet them in their spot. Not everybody's going to be a site leader. Not everybody's going to be a leader. Some people just like the task, but meet them where they are and help them to be the best person that they can be in that position.
Awesome. Wow. I love that. So just share two or three major ways the leaders can develop trust in a team.
Mm-hmm. I think number one is consistency. You know, there's an aspect of we want to be consistent, but yet you got to kind of change it up to give them new as well. But really being consistent in the important things. And if you're allowing someone to take off for this event, you need to make sure you're allowing this person to take off for this event so they can build that trust and build that rapport and that understanding. You know, communication, I would say, is another big one. The more we can communicate, like I always leave a site saying, hey, let me know if you need anything, email me, text me, call me, just so they know there's that open communication with myself, with any leader on our team, with our payroll department, with our HR department, whatever they need, we want to make sure that there's open communication so they know that we have their back and we're there to support them. And that makes them, you know, feel better and creates that trust. And for the third one, I would say that presence, being present with them and making sure you get yourself out in front of the team. So if you're a CEO or president somewhere at some big manufacturing, take the time to walk the floor, take the time to say hi, take the time to go out and have lunch with them. You need to make sure you're creating those connections. And in those connections and in that moment of being present with them is when they're going to really see you, who you are, and develop that trust.
I love it. And trust is so important. And I know one of the ways that you have kind of permeated the culture with good communication and clear understanding of expectations is through your vision statement. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, we kind of talk about, it was funny. We had, I was at a Tony Robbins event, and I know you're a big fan of Tony Robbins as well, and the different music that they play during the different sessions. And we were trying to define what our culture was going to be. And we needed that acronym. We needed that thing. And the song, it's from one of the car movies. I can't remember, Fast and Furious. We Own It came on. And I'm like, we own it. You know, it's all of us together. It's not I own it. It's we own it. And so in that, I sent that to one of our other operations guys, and he came up with the acronym now that we have of wow factor and exceptional guest experience creates the we. Outstanding teamwork with winning attitudes and a never ending pursuit of excellence creates the own, and immediate call to action and training create the it. So really focused on each of those in sections. The first one being about the guest experience and making sure they're having the great time and that every time they leave, they feel satisfied. And then the own really about the team members and who they are and owning themselves and owning their decisions they make and owning the choices they make in life and at work. And then immediate call to action and training, and just how we want everybody to be trained in as much as we possibly can. It really defines what our core values are and what we do. And then someone came into my office one time and it's like, why do we do what we do? And we're like, well, we're enriching lives, right? We enrich the lives of our team members and our guests. We're serving communities. We really do a lot to give back to our communities, be involved in the communities. And then we want to make sure we're adding value, and we're adding value into the team members' lives, and we're adding value into our guests' lives. So when they come in the morning, it's our goal that every morning someone comes in, they're getting a smile to start their day, or if they're a third shifter, to end their day. But it's our goal that everyone's getting a smile every day from us and whatever we do. So enriching lives, serving communities, adding value, and it's all done through our We Own It.
That's all tied to those letters. I love that. That is so phenomenal. Give a couple of examples of how you incorporate that in, say, team building activities. I know you do rallies often.
Yeah.
So just maybe offer, just so that the listeners kind of have some idea where they can start.
Yeah. So a couple times a year, we do team rallies. And what that is, it's a way for us as a leadership team to be able to connect with each and every team member. We try. This winter, we did smaller groups. We divided into three different groups and with a couple sites at a time so we could really spend time with the different team members. And it was good. We like the big events where everybody's there too, because there's a lot more jazz and just that pizzazz of those meetings. But sometimes you got to take this time and meet them where they are. And just, it was kind of a quieter winter. And so it was good to just meet that. But we always talk about it and we do awards on it. So every site picked their W award, which was wow factor. Who on your site gives the best wow factor? And who on your site does E, exceptional guest experience? And so we created this and every site we handed out 30 some awards and every site picked their We Own It categories and feature that, which was great. Every month we have leader meetings. Every month we have team meetings. So each site hosts a team meeting and there's usually an activity focused around We Own It or a training or a video in some sort focused around that. So there's so much, like, you can find right on YouTube to, give them a quick little hit on, immediate call to action, doing it now, taking responsibility and not waiting till later because later it's going to get busy. So fill the cups now, fill the slushy machines now. So that's a couple different ways that we incorporate it into what we're doing. And then every 90 days, we do team member reviews for all of our sites. And instead of waiting a whole year, again, we're working with mostly high school kids. Well, probably 60% high school kids, 40% full-time team members. But and instant gratification is important to them. They don't want to wait a whole year for their first raise. So we implemented this process where they're eligible for a raise every 90 days. And we have about 10 questions and We Own It is each of those. So how is the team member delivering wow factor? Poor, base, average, or exceptional, and then a couple comments. And then based on their scoring is if they get 5 cents or nothing or 20, 25 cents. And so they kind of get their bonus a little, or they'll get their raises a little earlier, but every quarter they know they're eligible for another raise and it keeps them accountable. It keeps them coming. It keeps them engaged and really focuses on the We Own It because every letter is part of that 90-day review.
I have to say, I'm putting the big exclamation point on this whole vision concept that you put together and woven through the fabric of what you do. It's so powerful because, and I've said it before, when they all understand the vision and it is in every part of what they do, it's in the policies, it's in the incentives, it's in the training, it's in the everyday problem solving, there's no way they can't get that vision executed. And so often companies come up with these big, hard to remember vision statements that no one even understands, no less memorizes, and they certainly don't plug it in every day. So huge applause to you on accomplishing that. You are, I think, one of the few leaders I know that has gone to great lengths, probably one of the best that I know has gone to great lengths to make that happen. So I think that that answers a lot of the questions that we've already asked about building trust and having that communication, that people first opportunity and the recognition that you offer. So I can't say enough good for you. In fact, I want to kind of brag on you a little bit here in terms of your awards because you've won best and brightest how many times in the last decade?
Quite a few. I don't know the number, but I would say I think every year we've applied. So I think maybe we're seven times now. So,
That's incredible. And that's since 2019 or 18.
Yeah, 17 or 18, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Yep. It was,
Yep.
I know it was right around the time when we started working together
Yeah. Yep.
and you just started, man, I am just so impressed with what you've done in the area. And I know that you're recognized by a lot of the local chambers and a lot of the businesses. So anybody that gets an opportunity to listen to this podcast is going to just get a fortune of information from you. So share a quick story or example of how heart-centered leadership has benefited your team. So maybe somebody specific that, really drew the best out in them or something that just really touched you in the way that it bounced back in your direction and you were empowered as well as they were.
That's a really great question. There's a lot of things that we do to just help people, right? And we want to help people, and we have been blessed, so we are able to help people. And I had one girl one time, her hot water heater went out at home, and so it's like, okay, well, what do you need? Like, let's help get it taken care of. So we got it taken care of. We get the hot water heater in there, and it's that creates that loyalty and that trust. And you have to go into it without expecting to anything back, right? But she's
Exactly.
fantastic. She comes in every day. She loves on our guests. And to us, that's a reward. I can't run these sites by myself. I probably don't know if I can even ring up a transaction much anymore on a register. It's gotten so complicated. Thought I'd never say that. But there's so many things that these team members do. And, you know, I haven't always been this heart-centered leader. Back when I was younger, it was younger leadership and you don't know. And then it's like, you know what I'm doing is not working. We got to do something else. And when you start to put the people first around you and do what you can every day to help them, that's when it becomes real. And, you know, another team member is going on vacation and, they had to put their dog down and a couple other expenses came up and just kind of been a rough point. And she texted and said, "Hey, could I borrow some money?" Absolutely. We are going to help and we're going to get her taken care of. And those are just the things that she, I guess I feel honored that she was even like confident enough to come and ask, because absolutely we want to help and again, meet everybody where they are and help them with what they can do. And, you know, you never know what the next 6 months is going to bring. You never know what the economy is going to do in the next 6 months, but in the moments when we can, we want to be there for our team. And so, many times we're doing, you know, going above and beyond to try and help them, because sometimes it's a car, sometimes it's a furnace, sometimes it's air conditioning, whatever it is, we want to try to meet them in their place. So.
That is so cool. Now, I will tell you, you know, I think you probably already know this, that there are a lot of leaders that would hear that from you and go, "Oh, that's a little over the top. That I can't do that," because they're probably going to just take it and run, or not appreciate me, or, you know, just kind of expect it from me. And of course, I'm playing the devil's advocate right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
yeah.
But you know, when you do something like that, okay, and you build that culture, obviously there are going to be times when you feel run over, but what's the overall payout, the ROI, if you will, on your building that kind of a culture? Share that with the audience.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, at first it's like, why would we do this? Why would we do that? They're just going to leave. Well, they might, right? But what if they don't? Now you've just created an even stronger relationship with a team member that could last years and years and years. And, you know, we have a lot of new people. But last year, again, in the C-store environment, our retention rate was 89% for the year of 2023. Wow. 89%. Like, this is convenience store and car wash, right? Now, every day you can think we're just a gas station, but we're not. We're so much more than that. And the people we have are so much more than that, but they're delivering such a great job and great experience. And our people are staying with us. We had over 6,000 people apply. Again, we only have 250 people. We had 6,000 people apply. We only hired 100 because we opened a new site and needed to hire 40 people for that site. So, you know, the stories and the numbers show that what we're doing is really transforming the lives of the people we have. And people that have left, gone on to college, are coming back on breaks. They're coming back any chance they can to work with us and to be part of the team because they feel valued and they feel part of it. And, you know, yeah, we've gotten burned many of times. We tried to do good things many a times, but the times where we've done good things to great people, it has really made a difference and built every single relationship we have.
That's exactly what I knew you would say. And I love it. And it's so true, though. It's so true.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in the midst of your team as, you know, they share what they love about working there. And you've got people that have had, you know, pretty sizable careers who left to work with you. And a lot of them say, you know, hey, it feels like a family, you know. And I love that whole concept, because, you know, even Bob Chapman wrote a book, you know, about how, you know, we all matter. And I recommend that book. But he talks about, you know, how he's got like a 90% engagement rate, which is ridiculous. And your 89% retention rate, especially for young people, is just phenomenal. So the numbers speak for themselves. The evidence speaks for itself. I don't think there's really anybody I could have asked to come on who knows more about what can happen if you're willing to invest in your team. So leading into that, great segue here. So what is the number one reason you feel heart-centered leadership is so critical in today's world, with all the changes that have happened in the last 4 years, all the pressures, you know, all of the personal life unraveling that we've been mentioning here? Why is it so important, you think, that leaders need to really take this seriously?
I think that the most important thing is for safety and comfort of the team, not for them to be comfortable and complacent, but for them to be comfortable coming to work and they know it's a safe spot for them to come. Some kids come, or even families are a little bit torn because of COVID, because of whatever, and things are a little more tense at home. We want it to be a safe, calming spot for them to come. Obviously, it's very busy. We have a lot of guests coming in. One of our sites washed 600,000 cars in a year. So we have a lot going on, but we want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel calm. We want them to feel part of it. And it's just a place where they can get away from the rest of their life and come and be part of this team. And, you know, we take them to dinner, we get them lunch. It's the simple things that go a long, long way. And, you know, sometimes we think too, and even some of our events, like, okay, how can they take the leftovers home, or how can we get this to the site? Because that might be the only meal they have that day. We do a lot with different kids' food basket, hand-to-hand ministries that provide food for kids. And a lot of families don't have the resources to get their kids food. And so we try to think of that too. Every meeting that they come to at the office, they're getting served food. Every team meeting that they have at their site, they're serving food to their team, because we want to make sure that everyone is fed and everyone feels comfortable and in a safe spot.
I love it. And, you know, now there's so many broken families. You are kind of being that surrogate family.
Oh, yeah,
a lot
absolutely.
Of them don't have, and especially the young ones. They're really, you know, feeling a lot of identity crisis, and you're there. And
yeah,
we've
had
I
leaders.
Love it.
Yeah, we've had leaders go to doctor's appointments with a team member because her mom was out of the picture and needed to have a female friend to go along. And so, you know, that's, you know, you're doing the right work when things like that are happening. And our, you know, it's me and all of our leadership team sharing each other with the stories and then bringing it all to our sites. And so, you know, one thing that we do the first time every meeting we have with our leadership team is, hey, what's new in your world? How's your team doing? What have you done? And just trying to share those stories, because, oh, someone else can say, I can go do this with this person, or I can help this person with this. And, you know, trying to make sure that we're sharing those stories and how we can help our team and how we can do that. But simple steps. We started it back, gosh, probably 8 years ago with simple note cards. I wrote a note card out to each of my directs and just, you know, thanks. Thanks for putting in the time. Thanks for doing your work. Thanks for being your best. Keep it simple. And then they each did it for their directs, and then they did it for their directs. And, you know, it just goes through the network like that. And it really makes a difference. We've done things where we've mailed note cards to their home. So then their family sees it and they, you know, get this appreciation in front of their family and their closest friends. So that's been fun. And then once a month, I send out just a note, a paper letter to the team. You know, we can do these video chats and we can do all the stuff, but it's a paper letter that's typed to the team. And then we send them a goodie. So this last month, we did a green crumble cookie. We've done like bags of coins before. We've done M&Ms, you know, just different random things each month. So they know the middle of the month, they're getting a letter, the state of the business, how we're doing, where we're at, and then a little treat to go along with it.
Wow. I mean, I could talk to you for hours about this. This thrills my heart. I love this, but we need to wrap it up. So I want to thank you again, Mandy. Now I'm going to give you the liberty to share anything you want at the tail end of this. So what would you like to share, leave the audience with here in closing? It can be information or just a tip. What do you think?
All right. So I'm going to say that it sounds like a big, overwhelming thing, but start small. Start a note card. Do one note card a week, two note cards a week. Make the small little steps to making people around you feel appreciated. And that will, over time, multiply within your organization. So if you're in a spot where things are maybe a little rough right now, take the time, take someone to lunch, make a note card, just do the little things, because the little things are what add up to the big things, and they will change your entire organization. And from that, reporting from Quality Car Wash and Tommy's Express, we started a franchise organization, and we're selling franchises across the country, modeled off of We Own It for the operations and the equipment from Tommy Car Wash Systems, which was started over 20 years ago. And we're actually getting into different countries now. We've got some things going in Australia, and we've got some things going in Spain and France, and we're really excited about where that's taking us. And my brother's leading that one, but we are definitely working closely to, you know, make sure we have the same common principles between both organizations.
That's spectacular. Wow.
But yeah, we're based out of Holland, Michigan, right on the lake shore of Lake Michigan. And again, a quality car wash and washing hundreds of thousands of cars every year and having a lot of smiling team members and smiling guests.
Love it. And for you locals out there in the Michigan area, now you know where you get your car wash is where people are taken care of first. So
absolutely.
There's
And when
my
you're part
plug
of the
handy.
Tommy's Express Club, you can wash out all of our quality sites and Tommy's Express. So
awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again, Mandy. It's been a joy having you on the podcast. And I wish you all the best. And I know that you will experience that because you give into the lives of others.
Thank you.
Michelle. Absolutely. It's Michelle Steffes. Reframe and rewire. Keep reaching higher. Join us the next time on Heart-Centered Leadership as we interview yet another amazing leader.